This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Michigan's legislature has been tackling some big, hairy issues this term. How to fund schools for the post-pandemic era, dividing up a big pot of federal aid, and more. There's also the question of what to do about Michigan's system of mental health services. And specifically, how people on Medicaid get mental health services, whether it's something as simple as a visit to a therapist or something more serious, like an inpatient hospital stay. There's been a divide in the system almost as long as there's been a system, with mental health on one side and physical health on the other. But Michigan is also home to a very unique bureaucratic wrinkle that legislators agree needs attention. With us first to talk about this is Robin Erb. She reports on health issues for Bridge Michigan and has been following this story. Robin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, April.
This is a big, complex system we're talking about. So let's start with just a little lay of the land. What are we talking about when we refer to the state's public mental health system, this thing for people who are on Medicaid?
It's a very large system and very complicated, and there are a lot of problems with it. The proposals we're talking about now really have to do with bureaucracy and a really critical piece of the bureaucracy. But the system is also inadequate because there are not enough providers. There are not enough psychiatrists. There are not enough social workers and therapists and direct care workers. There's also just a problem with, you know, not enough bed space and the funding mechanism. There are a lot of problems with our mental health system. But what we're talking about today is one piece of the bureaucracy that can have a pretty good fix if people can figure it out.
How does it work for someone who's looking to get services if they don't have insurance and they meet that threshold for being on Medicaid?
You get involved or you enter a system that is just this many layers of bureaucracy, just kind of this mind-numbing alphabet soup of bureaucracy. So I don't want to bore folks, but truly you have to understand kind of the stacks of bureaucracy here or the layers. And, you know, I think most people know that federal funds come through the state health department. And then in this case, they are dispersed to, here's a bureaucratic name for you, the PIHPs. This is basically the managed care part of the system. And then the PIHPs send that money down through the community mental health agencies, which then may even contract further for services. So all of that is to say there are a lot of layers here.
Wow, yes. So what are people's complaints, people who have to interact with the system? What is it that they don't like about the current system with these PIHPs that fund local mental health?
Well, I guess the biggest complaint is that there are not enough services. So let's start there. There simply aren't enough providers, like I said before. But once you get in the system, there are all these layers that confuse family members that, frankly, a lot of critics say evaporate the accountability. Nobody knows where to go if you have a complaint or if you can't get those services.
We have two fairly prominent state legislative leaders who've both designed bills that intend some changes in the system. There's one from Michigan Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, a Republican, and another Republican in the House, Representative Mary Whiteford. Can you give us the thumbnail sketch of how each of them is structured and what they propose to do to address those complaints?
This is about as thumbnail as you can get. And I'm going to dramatically oversimplify them. But again, if you think about those layers, the one layer of managed care, that's the target here. Both plans would tackle that layer, these PIHPs. Now, Senator Shirkey's plan, and I'm going to oversimplify again here, but he would kind of shift that layer of bureaucracy over to Michigan health plans, like your commercial health insurers. So this is where you hear that kind of that shortcut version that he's trying to privatize the system. What it really means is the Michigan health plans, the health insurers might get involved at this point. Now, you know, his view is, look, these are folks who know how to find efficiencies in healthcare. And this will help also integrate, which we've been trying to do for so long, integrate physical and mental healthcare. So again, that's kind of this version of privatizing the system. Again, woefully oversimplified. Representative Whiteford also would tackle that PIHP or managed care level. But she's looking at turning that into a single administrative services organization. Which would be either a public or a nonprofit entity. So it wouldn't be turned over to the health plans or private health plans, but it would at least shrink that bureaucracy. And both proposals are really about also saving money. So we go back to the real problem here, which is lack of access. If you can save money in this system, you can pour that money back into services.
I know we're having to gloss over some of the mechanisms here, but do you have any sense of how either of these bills would bolster this problem with a shortage of providers and a shortage of services?
Well, to be clear, it's only going to tackle one of the many problems. You know, when we're talking about a lack of providers, we're talking about reimbursement rates. We're even talking about getting folks who are educated and, you know, in the big colleges and universities on the East and West Coast to tolerate our winters. You know, I hate to say it like that, but truly, there's also a matter of luring the right professionals here to Michigan or training our own. So that's a different issue. But part of that issue is about how much we pay them. And again, if we can save money within the system, maybe that helps with that access. Maybe that helps, you know, get more providers in place.
I have to ask, Robin, do you have any kind of bead on how the demand for mental health services might have changed during the pandemic? I get the message that it wasn't great to start out with, but what's going on right now?
You know, I worried about this from the beginning, about whether or not we would assume that there would be mental health issues, and that would be an assumption all along. But truly, the data is starting to come out to show that there really was serious mental health fallout during the pandemic. I'm working on a story now, and I know others have tackled it too, about, you know, the eating disorders among young people. There's some data that shows that spiraled out of control as we were isolated and trying to figure things out, and we were disconnected from friends. Was it 2 weeks ago? They talked about the surge in drug overdose deaths. There are those data points that are coming out to show just how bad this last year was on our mental health.
Robin Erb reports on health beat issues for Bridge, Michigan. You can read her coverage about the mental health bills in the legislature at the Bridge website. Hey, Robin, it's great to talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks, April.
As we just heard with Robin, a lot of mental health advocates are less than thrilled with the existing way of getting mental health care paid for, but many also have concerns about the legislative options that are on the table. Mark Reinstein is the former president and CEO of the Mental Health Association in Michigan. He now works privately as a consultant. Mark, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So we've got a couple of proposed solutions on the table, one from Republican State Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, and one from State Representative Mary Whiteford, who's also a Republican. What are your takes on these proposals?
I think the Senate proposal is just another way to try to get at what Senator Shirkey tried so hard to do in recent years, which was the infamous budget section 298, where he wanted all Medicaid healthcare money, both behavioral and non-behavioral, to go to the state's private Medicaid health plans, most of whom are for-profit and who sign contracts with the Department of Health and Human Services to provide primarily non-behavioral healthcare to the Medicaid population.
Right. Another step toward privatization.
This is just a reworked version of that.
Why do you feel like that's a problem? Tell us why you think mental health and physical health shouldn't be part of the same system.
They should be well coordinated at the point of service delivery. But what the senator is proposing is what we call financial integration. And first of all, there's no evidence we're aware of that financial integration actually improves care coordination. Secondly, we've asked the Department of Health and Human Services on multiple occasions to show us evidence how this will improve behavioral health care. People assume without evidence that it will improve non-behavioral health care. We have said to the department and to others like Senator Shirky numerous times, show us that this will improve behavioral health care, and no one can show us that it will. These entities that are likely to wind up being the money managers in Senator Shirky's proposal, he calls them specialty integrated plans. These entities have next to no experience dealing with serious behavioral health problems. They're into an old style medical model where what's your diagnosis? What pills can we give you for the diagnosis? And maybe we'll give you a few psychotherapy sessions. In specialty mental health care, all of the best thinking today says that you can't simply do only those things. You have to get into social supports, things like housing, transportation, socialization opportunities, so you're not isolated, always by yourself, things of that vein. The public mental health system right now may not do as good a job as we'd like with all those things, but they know how to do them. And lastly, if we're talking about private for-profit entities, they exist to make a profit. They have to make a profit to satisfy their boards and their shareholders. And a profit-based system for managing care does not strike us as the best way to serve people with very vulnerable conditions.
So I'm definitely getting the drift of how you feel about Senator Shirky's bill. What about Representative Whiteford's bill? Are there aspects of this that you think could be useful?
Yes. The representative's bill replaces the 10 regional managers we have right now, which is an extra layer of cost and bureaucracy, with one statewide entity. The representative in her bills calls it an administrative service organization. Her proposal is that all of the Medicaid behavioral health money would remain separately funded like it is now. It wouldn't be mixed with non-behavioral Medicaid healthcare money. And that money would go to the statewide administrative service organization, and that entity would sign contracts for provider networks and provider services all over the state. Representative Whiteford's proposal says that this new entity could be private, but if so, it would have to be nonprofit. The proposal also says that it could be quasi-public or public. I think in the mental health community, at least the advocacy community, people are hoping that in the final iteration, it would say it must be quasi-public or public.
Why is that important that that public or quasi-public language be in there?
Because of accountability, transparency, monitoring, and enforcement. There is no motive other than to try to get things right. The other thing with that, some are starting to raise, is why even have a statewide administrative service organization? Why not just have the Department of Health and Human Services directly do all the contracting than an administrative service organization would? If this goes all the way up to the state level, if the executive branch is the bottom line, then the legislature can more directly impact and affect the executive branch. So not everyone is totally comfortable with Representative Whiteford's proposed statewide administrative services organization. People seem to prefer it to having an unspecified number of specialty integrated plans under Senator Shirky's proposal, but there still needs to be some talking done about whether, if we're going to have an administrative service organization, about whether that should be quasi-public or fully public, or whether to forget about an administrative service organization and have everything flow straight from the department. One other thing with Senator Shirky's proposal is that I believe because he has separated the public mental health system subpopulations into three different tiers that would come into his program at three different times, and because his proposal says that tier one, which would have the most people and would start first, would be evaluated after 2 years, and they can't begin tier two until tier one has proven acceptable. What if tier one doesn't work out in the evaluation after 2 years, but the state wants to take all five potential years to decide to make an ultimate decision about this program? What are the people in tier one supposed to do? Still stay in a substandard program for three more years? Do they get to go back to the way things were? And this will also cause tremendous confusion and problems for providers, because right off the bat, let's use community mental health as an example, you're taking away all of their mental illness and emotional disorder clients, leaving them initially with managing service for developmental disability, intellectual disability, and substance use disorder. Can they even stay in business if they're no longer able to manage their biggest subpopulations?
Mark Reinstein is a consultant and advocate in mental health. He's also the former president and CEO of the Mental Health Association in Michigan. Mark, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
And that's Stateside for today. Our show is produced by Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, April Van Buren, and by our director, Mercedes Mejia, with additional help from Ronia Cabansag, Chantel Phillips, Lucas Pollock, and Mary Claire Zowell. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Stateside's a production of Michigan Radio and a broadcast service of the University of Michigan. I'm April Baer. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.